The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's like the crocodile from Peter Pan. You know, every time he rolled around, Captain Hook would get a little...
So scared of that as a kid.
Uncomfortable.
The clock scene in Hook.
Who's still missing the teenage love puppy and Steve the Pirate?
Who's Steve the Pirate?
The only guy on our team who dresses like a pirate.
Wait. There's a guy on our team dressed like a pirate?
Nightmares for little Joshy.
For little Joshy.
Joshy, you look like a pirate. You should get a nightmare.
Steve? Steve the Pirate. Scurvy!
No, not ringing any bells.
Forget it, man.
Do you want to be a pirate?
I think I can pull off an
iPad. No, the answer is I don't want to be a pirate.
If you're not a pirate, who the hell am I going to split all that buried treasure with?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make it.
Permission to change the lyrics of the famous Buck song, light it up, to blow it up, blow it up. Big Bucks news yesterday, guys, as they tell us that they are dismissing Adrian Griffin after 43 games. Now, yes, you probably checked the standings of the Milwaukee Bucks and thought, aren't they the second best team by record in the East right now? They are. And yet the front office thought, this is not working. What we're doing is not going to get it done. Probably some games in there, Gabe. You watch the NBA games a lot closer than the rest of us. Probably some games in there where it looked like, how is this a team with Giannis and Chris and Dame, etc.? How are they clunking their way through basketball games against inferior opponents?
They got booed at home this month. Earlier this month against the Utah Jazz, they got booed at home. Because that's how bad it looked. I mean, they lost a game by 40 points to the Cavs. I know Giannis didn't play, but holy crap, they were down 22-2 before you blinked. And that was just a couple of weeks ago. By the way, that was also in front of one of their new co-owners. The Haslams were in Cleveland for that, so that didn't bode well for the future of Adrian Griffin. If you paid attention at all, and we mentioned some of it, and I know it's easy to kind of forget a lot of this, as the Packers were in the middle of the season that they just had, but just about every week, Giannis had something after the game that was screaming, not all is well in Milwaukee.
General Manager John Horst released a statement yesterday saying, this was a difficult decision to make during the season. We are working immediately towards hiring our next head coach. We thank Coach Griffin for his hard work and contributions to the team. Veteran assistant Joe Prunty will take over as interim coach, but who knows how long that will last, because if you believe some of the reports that were out there yesterday, guys, they're trying to move quickly here. They're trying to move fast. They're trying to get their next guy, and maybe it is Doc Rivers, who has, of course, long NBA connections and a Milwaukee connection, having played at Marquette. Maybe he will be the next guy. Nothing official there yet. We will obviously keep you posted on that as the morning goes on. But Chew, I'm all about fixing mistakes early, but man, this is a big one, right?
Yeah, I'm all about blame first. Who do you blame? This is like, and you know, I revert everything back to football. You can't do this in football in the middle of a season. And what I mean by that, you can't go from a West Coast offense to another offense in the middle of the season. It's just impossible. I don't know basketball too well. I don't know how they do this, but my first peel of the onion is who to blame, and I blame Giannis. I blame Giannis.
I mean, he certainly deserves some of the
blame. I blame Giannis. Because, Gabe, they're not hiring him unless Giannis gives the blessing.
Oh, 100%. That's correct.
You know, and look, I don't want to upset anyone. I upset a lot of people last week.
You don't care.
I really don't. So I might as well upset him. I love Giannis. I love his story. It's great. But, and I've been talking about this for a year, 6 months. I'm just seeing the same trajectory as Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. I do. If you look at Aaron, I want to be involved in draft picks. You don't talk to me. Come fly out to see me. I need to be more involved. I want to call the plays. LaFleur doesn't know what he's doing. The Buffalo game was a debacle. Players play, coaches coach, front office, do what you do. And that's my problem.
But, okay, let me ask you this, though, Chew. When you played for Ray Rhodes, how soon did you know that that wasn't the answer? Like, Ray's not taking you to a championship.
Well, don't forget, I had Ray Rhodes as a defensive coordinator earlier in my career.
Yep.
And everybody loved Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I love Ray. I still love Ray. Ray was the type of guy, as a defensive coordinator, that would be in the locker room playing dominoes, playing backgammon, sitting down. I talked to Ray in the locker room much more than I ever talked to Mike. Ray was that kind of guy. But the problem is this, Gabe. You cannot be a head coach and be close to the players. You can't do that. And the problem is he was still doing that because the players are ultimately going to take advantage of certain situations, which they did.
Yeah, but that's not the issue here, Chu. When did you know that Ray Rhodes wasn't the guy?
Halfway through the season.
And at that point, do you wish that the team had made the move to let somebody else handle the reins?
I think it was too late at that point, and that's one thing I applaud the Bucks because it's not too late here, although they have a steep mountain to climb. It's just, yeah.
I mean, the only thing that matters for them at this point is how you perform in the postseason. They've got
100%.
You know, so they've got 39 games left in the regular season, presuming it's Doc. And look, I mean, according to the athletic report.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't. If you hire someone a month ago to kind of be, and I guess hired might even be the wrong word because he was an informal consultant. He was somebody that they wanted Griffin to work with. So if you're reaching out to him to help your current head coach, my guess is, well, yeah, he's going to be the one you want to be your head coach.
But Gabe, this is different. This is the San Francisco 49ers. This is the Kansas City Chiefs. And the rest of the league is like, after 43 games, you're fired. This is a colossal mistake.
1,000%.
Colossal mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And from the reports we're getting, I don't know if you wanted to drop this now, sounds like nothing's changed. The organization wants this guy, but Giannis wants this guy. What the hell are we doing here?
Well, no, I believe that was earlier in the coaching process.
Yeah, when they hired Griff.
Yeah, so yes, there are reports out there that when this whole thing went down, the organization wanted Nick Nurse, Giannis wanted Griff, and so they went with Griff in part, because Giannis wanted him. But I don't want to get too lost in the sauce here, guys. Like, I agree that it was a colossal mistake, but the luxury that the Bucks have is that they're so bleeping good, they can overcome this. Like we said, 43 games, and they're still the number two team in the East. So that means that if you get somebody in there who can right the ship, and look, Prunty knows what this team can do because he's been around and he's been around and he's been around and he knows the guys. Like,
what's old is new again.
Right, exactly. So he's going to be able to tell them, hey, keep it simple, stupid, right? We got the best talent on the floor. We've amassed the best talent. When you go out there and you throw your five out there against our five, we most often have the best five. So let's just kind of lean on that and then play some basketball. Let's not try to reinvent the wheel here. So I'm not worried about that. This is a tough stretch. Yesterday, Chris Mannix tweeting out the Bucks are entering a challenging stretch of the schedule. Back-to-back home dates with Cleveland, then New Orleans, then a five-game Western Conference road trip that includes stops in Denver, Dallas, and Phoenix. So it'll be interesting to see how they navigate that. I'm going to give them, to be honest with you, till the All-Star break. Just give it to, you know what I mean? Like, figure that this will be a transition period. Figure that there will be some bumps.
Oh, it's
figure
that
there'll be
that.
Some. I'm going to give them till that. I think once you get out of the All-Star break, you're going to see that this team is firing mostly on all cylinders.
I mean, but let me ask you this. Are you still waiting for Giannis's blessing on who to hire? Because
no.
We can't be critical of Rodgers and the stuff he did and not carry it over to this. It's not fair.
I don't think they
if you
are.
You can't look at it objectively, then I have no use for you.
So the one thing, and yeah, look, Chu, yeah, he deserves part of the blame for the hire of Griff, absolutely. I don't think that they are. I think that part of the reason, with all the reports, whether it's from Woj, Shams, Chris Haynes, everybody's in on this thing. The reason why they want Doc is because Doc has dealt with stars before and he's had relative success. And because of his experience dealing with those veteran teams, dealing with those stars, they think that he can connect with Giannis, Dame, et al. In a way that Griffin just couldn't do. And look, Griff wasn't like giving him any direction on defense. To your point, Jen, like just giving him a little bit of that direction of, hey, this is what we're about, is going to go a long way.
And things had been percolating. Things had been trickling out of the Bucks organization for weeks. You know, my brother-in-law asked me a few days ago, he goes, hey, hearing anything on Griff getting fired? And I was like, dude, we are so in it in Packers right now, right? The Packers had just been bounced from the postseason. Literally, this was the next day. I said, we haven't even really dove in to what's going on with the Bucks. But if you were watching games, there were times where guys would come out of a timeout and it looked like they were confused about what they should be doing or who was supposed to be even on the floor. There was talk of how coaches were saying, we might get fired. Like, we're saying it to people, like, out and about when they would, like, hey, how's it going? Good, as long as I don't get fired. You know what I mean? Like, there was trickling of, what do you mean getting fired? We're 40 games in. We're 30 games in. So there were things out there, guys. So, but here's the thing about Doc Rivers I want to say, right? Everybody's going to point to his playoff record. Everybody's going to say, well, he was never able to get it done. He was able to get it done one time. I want to make sure we're clear on that. He does have that championship under his belt. But every coach out there right now is going to have a flaw. You just need to hope that it's not a fatal flaw. And you need to hope that whatever coach you bring in recognizes their own flaws or deficiencies and is willing to put people around them who can supplement those deficiencies, who can fill in those gaps, because that's what good leadership is. And from everything I'm hearing with regards to Griffin, that was an issue for him. We saw the Terry Stotts thing happen earlier this season, right, guys? That was a clash of authority. That was Griffin being like, I'm the guy. I know you got all this experience, Stotts, but I'm not going to let you talk to the guys when I want to talk to the guys. There's a story that I heard about a coach walking in front of Griff and Griff being like, don't ever do that again. What? Walk in front of you? Like, there were issues here with imposter syndrome. There were issues with out over his skis. And I am applauding the Bucks this morning for saying, didn't work. We tried something. We didn't want to go with the retread. We wanted to give a guy a shot at his first gig. Thought it could work with the talent that we had. And again, I do think we need to touch on the note that this team is vastly different now than the team that they thought they were handing to Adrian Griffin. Right, Gabe?
Yeah, that's a Haynes point. But you wanting to give the Bucks credit for moving on, is that because most of the time, I don't know, I'll just pick a team at random.
Yeah,
another coach at
off
random.
The top of my head.
Joe
on.
Barry. I'll go with Joe Barry as an example.
It's a good one. I'm surprised you were able to come up with it,
Let's just play that one out. Because we've been waiting for this Joe Barry thing, which was obviously a mistake to bring him back this past season.
But,
and we've been waiting for that to happen, and it hasn't happened. So do we want to then give credit when a team actually does that, when in actuality the only thing they're doing is atoning for their mistake?
But Gabe, here's the difference in silos. There's no silos with the Milwaukee Bucks. You can't do that unless it came from Murphy to get rid of Barry, which is way outside of his purview.
Well, not, you know? I mean, it's not outside of Murphy's purview, technically. He's the czar of football.
Well,
for the
like
Bay
we
Packers.
Discussed
but there's no question
the...
with the Bucks about who's running the show, right?
Yes.
It's Horst, right? He's the one who was going down to.
No, that's incorrect.
Who's running the show?
Wes.
Really?
This is a Wes decision. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there's no way this was a...
So I had heard a report yesterday that Horst had been showing up to practices and had been like...
Sure, but do we think that Horst is the one who had Doc be the consultant?
Oh, I don't know who did that.
Jen,
I mean, so that's coming from ownership, right? Like, in the NBA, I mean, yeah, Horst has put together a team. When it comes to that coach, my guess is firing somebody like that in the middle of the season... That's coming from Wes.
Well, that is very interesting to me. I appreciate that you said that because I was just under the assumption that this was the GM saying, I made a mistake. I hired the guy. I made a mistake. It's not working out, so I'm going to pivot off of it. If you're telling me that Wes made the decision, then that changes things a little bit, Gabe, to be perfectly honest with you, because that means his boss swooped in and said, no, this isn't working. We're moving on. We're going to have Eric Name on the show a little bit later. He's going to help us square away all of that stuff as well. But I guess the question this morning I want to ask is, does the move to fire Adrian Griffin make the Bucks more of a championship contender in your eyes? We believe that the Bucks were a championship contender, right? Is there anybody here, show of hands, anybody who didn't think they could win a title this year?
It was not trending in a great direction.
True.
I had my concerns, especially because when they played the better teams, these issues seemed to exacerbate themselves.
So does this move to you make them more of a championship contender? Addition by subtraction, if you will.
Yes.
Then the start of the season? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like then no. Yesterday.
No. No. I'm saying now it does because we found out how bad Griffin was. But at the beginning of the season, no.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, I had every. I mean, because honestly, Chu.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine a coach being, despite the record, again, despite being, you know, 30-13, being as bad as Griff was. Like, when you can see the issues, and the issues are just constantly coming to the forefront. I mean, Jen was going through some of the issues. I mean, at that Jazz game, I was there when the Bucks got booed against the Jazz. There were times where guys came into the game, and they didn't know who they were guarding. Well, wait, who do I have? Oh, he's shooting a three in the corner. Yeah. He just made a three in the corner.
That's funny that you guys mentioned that about Horst suddenly showing up to practice, because I remember Ron during the Ray Rhodes year, where he never, unless it was training camp and he wanted to show off his white socks to his knees and his tennis shorts that were a little too tight, he would never during the season show up to practice. And then when I knew Ray was in trouble was when maybe week 10, 11, Ron started showing up to practices to see what the culture was like.
And to your point, Shu, we have talked about Ron Wolf and his ability to error quickly. The quote that's out there is, if we pick someone high that couldn't play, rather than prolonging the agony for both of us, let's bite the bullet and move on. And I do think that's what the Bucks decided to do. Gabe, I'm blown away. I appreciate you telling me that this was an ownership thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know thing. That. I just based on how the Bucks have typically been run, like That's what my assumption was, is that this came from ownership.
800-990-3776. We also put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Should Giannis have a say in who is the next Bucks head coach? Because he had a say in this one, and it didn't go well. Is that a strike on Giannis' ability to pick a coach? Would you defer to the superstar this time around? Or would you make this decision without him and say, you deal with it now? You deal with it at this point. Let us know, 800-990-3776. We roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's I don't know, it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your
but hold on.
Hey, Jen, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm just a stranger with a twist.
And he blames Giannis Antetokounmpo. Check, check, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Sorry, I can't hear myself. Chewy says this is a complete bleep up, and he blames Giannis Antetokounmpo for the mess that the Bucks find themselves in. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to the phone lines. Dan in Sheboygan, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your reaction to the Bucks firing Adrian Griffin yesterday?
I got a little bit of a different take on it, because during the offseason, the Bucks lost coach Mike Budenholzer, who was good but not great. Scale of 1 to 10, probably 7 or 8. They also lost Drew Holiday. And the reason why is because Chris Middleton is untradeable with that contract. They should have found a way. If they had Holiday, Willard, and Giannis, I think they have something. But right now, who is doing what Holiday did on defense? He was the quarterback in that defense. And I think that having him, obviously, I think he must have covered up for an awful lot, defending multiple positions against Inset, because Willard and Middleton, neither one of them can figure it out. And I think that's a big part of this, too.
First of all, appreciate it.
Would have been impossible to trade Chris. Chris was a free agent this offseason. He re-signed, and then there's a waiver period after you sign that new contract before you can get traded. So that was never a part of it. I mean, Drew's been getting older, too. It's not like Drew's having a good year in Boston. He's not. And I think the Bucks were fully aware that they would take a step back defensively by trading for Damian Lillard. What they traded for is, yeah, we'll take a step back, but then now we've got our closer, which, by the way, Dame has closed out a bunch of games and is a big part of the reason why they are 30-13. Like, their point differential is closer to a team like the Knicks, who are more middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference, instead of being one of the top teams because of Dame. Now, I don't think they anticipated falling all the way from top five defense to 22nd, and in the month of January, they've been 27th in defensive efficiency.
Yeah, but hold on. Griffin was brought in because he was supposed to be a defensive specialist.
Correct.
And he wasn't. So, to me, it sounds like their interview process is flawed, because I know in football, When you go and interview for a job, say you're interviewing for an offensive coordinator, it's a long, lengthy process, and you sit there with your offense, right, and you say, well, I'm going to run 72X all across here, and then a coordinator or someone who is very knowledgeable when it comes to defense and offense will say, well, what if they come in cover two? Or what if they come up in four sky? And then you got to have an answer like that. So this should have been sniffed out in the interview process where someone should have said, huh, this guy really doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Well,
here.
So there's a huge, I guess the disconnect comes. So the Chris Haynes had a piece for Bleacher Report about how when Griff was hired, the Bucks weren't sure if they were going to bring back Brooke. They weren't sure if they were going to bring back Chris. They thought that this was going to be potentially a, all right, we're going to take a step back here.
Wait a minute, would you call it a rebuilding year?
For the Bucks?
If you have Giannis, I don't know if he can rebuild. It's a retool.
Just throwing it out there. We'll get real antsy about the old rebuild. I just wanted to see if we were going to dive into that pool here, but go ahead.
But they thought maybe they'll take a step back. And while they end up bringing those guys back and then making the trade of the offseason, getting Dame, so now instead of, oh, you're going to have about a year to kind of ease your way into this, oh, now we've got all these veterans and this is win now mode. And Chu, he wanted to run a defense, and maybe he was anticipating Brooke Lopez not being here. He wanted to be more aggressive on the perimeter, which is what they did in the first five games, and they were lost. Like, their personnel didn't match the defense. Yeah, they've got Brooke Lopez, who can defend the rim, and you got to have ways where Brooke's defending the rim. And the players went to him and said, hey, we can't do this. Brooke's really good at defending the rim. Let's let him play his drop coverage. And then the first game that they did that, he had like seven blocks in a game. So I think Griff just kind of got lost of, well, I wanted to do this, but now I don't know what to do with this personnel.
That sounds a little Joe Barry-ish, doesn't it? I don't know.
It's not that far off.
I just think these are things you got to sniff out in the interview process to see how knowledgeable your potential head coach is about the game. All right, Gabe, it's like you can't have an offensive coordinator West Coast offense go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who like to run the ball, and say, hey, we want you to run this type of, you know, it just says your specialty is in this area and the personnel has to fit what you want
to
do.
And I think to Gabe's point, though,
you dismiss them.
To Gabe's point, though, they didn't think that they would, they knew that there's no way they thought they would have Dame Lillard, right? And he's a game changer, maybe not defensively, but he's a game changer offensively. So, like, the pieces changed. It's like when Griff was hired, you handed him a box of recipes. What's that show I always reference but can never remember
Chopped.
The name of? Chopped. You handed him a box of recipes. He went to put a box of ingredients. He went to put a recipe together, and then you changed the ingredients midway through the show and went, oh, just kidding. Now you're not using these things. You have to use these things. So I'm going to give
them a pass. The mystery ingredient. That can really throw a lot of people off.
Yeah,
the show.
Yeah, but that's why Barbecue Pitmaster is a much better show than Chopped, because they don't tell you what you're cooking, and you still got to win, baby.
Mm-hmm. You might have to cook it in the ground.
You have to cook it in the ground? Is that what the pit is? You just dig a hole?
Yeah.
Charcoal down there? Do you get charcoal, or you got to use, like, bark? How does it work?
You typically use a type of charcoal.
All right. So
I mean, if you want a little of that smoky wood flavor, you'll get some of that.
I didn't know if you were down there with the stick going.
No, they let you use modern implements.
I didn't know. I've never seen the show.
A little bit of lighter fluid.
No, you're not allowed to use an accelerant. Does this move make the Bucks more likely to win a title? Does this move make the Bucks more likely to win a title? I think yes. Addition by subtraction. You're going to see those guys gelling. You're going to see the guys, again, just kind of going out there and playing basketball a little bit. I don't want to oversimplify it because I don't think it's just like drawing plays up in the dirt, you know, Favre style. But I do think that, like, there was a disconnect between what Griff wanted to do, the personnel he had, and then the guys buying in when they saw it wasn't working. And that sort of just deteriorated everything. Also, I'm so glad we don't have to pay royalties on 72X Shallow Cross. Do you know how often the big guy goes to 72X
Shallow
Cross?
It's the default play.
Can you imagine?
Because I'm the number one read.
To the point where you remember the name of the play.
Can you imagine if we had to pay, like, I don't know, $1, $2, $100 every time Buddy goes to it?
Angie would be so upset. Chewy's wife would be like, we got to pay for it again?
Spending money. We got Adam Schefter coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, we have some more news.
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're
going
to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
The Bears look dead. The Vikings look dead. And so the division comes down to Detroit and Green Bay.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
You heard our buddy Vince talking about it. The Ortho ASAP clinic is available at both the Brookfield and Pewaukee locations. Patients can walk in and be seen without an appointment. It is faster, it is easier, it is less expensive. What more do you need? Faster, easier, less expensive than the ER or urgent care? You need to go to Orthopedic ASAP if you find yourself in one of those situations where you need an ER or an urgent care. Ortho ASAP clinic, there is a difference. And that is who presents Adam Schefter here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam, I just want you to know that we are still dealing with a little bit of like disappointment, annoyance, frustration.
Packers hangover.
Yeah, there's definitely a hangover here happening. How close did you think the Packers were to moving on to the NFC Championship game?
Should have won the game.
Thank you!
And by the way, the moment it started, I thought to myself, they won the toss, they took the ball, they drove the field, they were aided by a key pass. Like, it was a replay of the first drive in Dallas. And I said to myself, I see how this is going. And in the second quarter, I texted one of my friends who's a huge 49ers fan, and I said, hey, really good season, impressive, no shot tonight. No shot, over. Like, I was convinced that Green Bay was winning the game. It was one of those games that you watch that you don't think the other team is going to win until the very end when it's over. Like, there. In fact, I even texted with somebody with the Niners. I'm like, that was a loss. And they said to me that they thought that game was over for 59 minutes and 35 seconds. That was the text I got back, basically. So it wasn't just me. You just watched the game. Green Bay, in my mind, outplayed them. They had every opportunity to win. They just made a couple of key mistakes at key times and were unable to put it away. And it doesn't make Packer fans feel better this morning. And I'm sorry to bring the better, but you all watched it. You saw it. They should have won the game. Should have won the game. And they didn't.
Adam, I'm not sure if you saw Jair's text yesterday, and I'll just read it to you. It says, thank you, God. Thank you, Lambo, for my 6 years. Thank you for those who showed love throughout my journey. Is he on the move?
Just want to be clear, Jair did not text Chewy that message.
What is that called?
That was an Instagram post.
Oh, sorry.
Hold on. I see it. As soon as Chewy started to read that, Gabe put his head down and was shaking it. How come you shaking your head?
Well, because he said, text. He said Jair text. Did you see Jair's text? Like, he's in a group text.
Adam got it.
And Jair and Chewy. You three have a group text, and Jair reached out to you guys.
Well, I will say there have been some excellent texts that have gone back and forth between that group text between me, Chewy, and Jair.
We've really
touched on some incredible topics over time and solved a lot of the issues in the world. Right, Chewy?
That's right.
Yep.
They love beating up on the old guy on the show. what does that tell you, though, Adam?
Well, first and foremost, what I've learned is in this day and age, there's a lot of messages that players, athletes deliver through social media. And even the other day, like, there was this tweet that was posted of Jim Harbaugh and, you know, where he's talking about passing the torch. And do we think that Jim Harbaugh is likely to leave Michigan? Yes, we do. Do I think he was referring to passing the torch on to the? No, I don't. So I think there's some danger in reading into a person's meaning. So I'm not going to speak specifically to that tweet other than to say, as we talked about, as soon as Mr. Captain was suspended for one game after that last week, I think his future came into question. And I think that was always going to be a question. And I think there's a $9 million option bonus in his contract due in March that the team has to make a decision on by that day. And either they're going to have to pay that bonus and take Mr. Captain as he is, or they're going to look to deal him, which I think is distinctly possible. Like, you see out there what team could be interested, what a team would be willing to give up for a cornerback as talented as Jaire Alexander. And so I think there's the possibility he could be traded. We'll see what they decide to do. But whatever it is, I believe they have to make a decision. That's a fact. They have to make a decision on his future and whether they want to bring back Mr. Comeback or move on from Mr. Comeback. And clearly, Mr. Captain, I should come back, Mr. Captain, I'm confusing Captain Comeback and Mr. Captain and all that. But Mr. Captain clearly sounds like he's calling into question his future in Green Bay.
And Jordan Love obviously didn't have his best fourth quarter in that game, Adam, but I'm still just in awe of the run that he went on from where the Packers and he were to where he ended up. I keep asking everybody this. Maybe you can think of someone who's improved that much in season. I mean, any position. Like, I've talked to people about quarterbacks. Nobody can come up with quarterbacks. Like, somebody improving that much in season. I don't know if I can ever recall one.
C.J. Stroud didn't have a great start and then just took off, and he was unbelievable. I mean, I don't know. Is that improvement? I don't know. But it's pretty dramatic. I'm trying to think of a guy, Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay.
Went from a guy that people were calling a bust to where all of a sudden he became a, you know, seemingly top-tier quarterback. So there are guys. Look, you know, I don't know how you compare him to others. The fact of the matter is he emerged. He played very well. He played himself into a contract extension this summer at some point in time to where he'll be, I expect, one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the game. And he gave Packers fans the kind of hope and optimism for their future that you want to have going to a season because he was that impressive.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here, as he does each and every Wednesday during the football season. Okay, so the big story here in Wisconsin is that the Bucs have moved on from their head coach. And Chewy has been saying to us all morning long, this would be very difficult to do in the NFL, essentially just over the halfway point, 43 games in. So it'd be like 9 games into an NFL season. Obviously, the people are drawing parallels between the Bucs moving on from Griffin and what they believe the Packers need to do, which is to move on from Joe Barry. Have you gotten any sense of what his job security is in Green Bay?
I think that 6 weeks ago, it was a bigger question and more of a certainty that they would be making a change. And I think that they had to have thought about making a change. And my guess and read, and it's a guess, is that they're probably looking around out there to see who's out there, to see if there would be an improvement, somebody that would be an upgrade. And if not, with the way that that defense played and he coached down the stretch, I think you could run that back and easily convince people that it's not a bad move to do that. Now, if they had performed the way they had in the last part of the season, which they wouldn't have played as long as they did, so that's impossible. But if they had played at that type of level with those mistakes and poor play, yeah, he would have been out. But I think he gave himself a legitimate chance to stay on. And I think the only way in my mind that they would make a change would be if they found somebody that they believed was an upgrade over Joe Barry.
Adam, you brought up Jim Harbaugh. Where do you think he will be coaching next year? And where do you think Belichick will be coaching?
Well, more and more, I don't think Jim will be coaching at Michigan. Now, where it is in the NFL becomes the question. And he was with the Chargers yesterday. He's scheduled to meet with the Falcons on Thursday. And here's what I would say. I know everybody has anointed him to the Chargers, and I'm not in that minority. I believe that the Falcons have as good a chance, if not a better chance, than the Chargers. And I say it to you for this reason. Who's got more money, the Spanos family or Arthur Blank? I got a few questions to ask you. Who's got more money? I think Arthur Blank is probably one of the wealthiest individuals in the world. Is it easier to attract assistant coaches to go work in Atlanta with that cost of living or LA?
Oh, Atlanta.
Okay. Would you rather be in a conference with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, we can go on and on. Or in an NFC where
– South,
Okay. Okay, would you rather be in the AFC West against Patrick Mahomes, Sean Payton, Max Crosby? Would you rather be in the NFC South division?
Yeah.
I was going to say, this one's stumping you, Chief. That's the one that's stumping you.
Hold on. What conference does his brother coach in?
Yeah, the South.
The AFC.
Yeah.
To me, when you look at it and break it down like that, every sign turns up Atlanta. Now, it goes beyond all those obvious facts. You say, now you're going to say to me, okay, quarterback. Well, the Chargers have Justin Herbert. They do.
Yeah.
They have one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. And I would say, in Atlanta, Jim could go draft J.J. McCarthy and have a quarterback that he knows and loves in Atlanta. So would you rather have the Spanos family, L.A., AFC, AFC West, and Justin Herbert? Or would you rather have Arthur Blank, NFC, NFC South, Atlanta, and J.J. McCarthy?
So, Adam, which domino falls first, Harbaugh or Belichick?
I'm not sure that Bill Belichick's getting a job at all in this cycle.
Really? With that many openings? Huh.
The only one that he's interviewed for is the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
And the Atlanta Falcons interviewed him for a second time last Friday. Did you notice that when the Tennessee Titans interviewed Brian Callahan for a second time on Monday, they hired him on the spot? Do you notice that when teams have a guy in for an interview that they want, they hire him on the spot? If the Falcons were so intent upon hiring Bill Belichick, why did they not get it done last week? Why is it lingering on? Why are they bringing in all these other guys for second interviews? They always could go back to him, but I'll just say this. On the surface, looking at all the factors, I don't like his chances of getting that job right now. It could turn back to him. These things are fluid and they change all the time. And I've seen plenty of searches with plenty of coaches where a team was moving on from one guy and then went back to him in the end, and that could happen here. But I think as we look at it today, I think he's on the outside looking into that job, just on the face of it. And if he doesn't have that job, he hasn't interviewed for any other jobs. So I'd say there's a possibility, a real possibility, that he's not going to coach here with one of these teams and that he won't be hired in this cycle. That's certainly an option.
Well, Adam, I mean, so many times these coaches then want to stay relevant, so they take a coordinator job, maybe. I mean, we were just talking about Joe Barry, Adam, let me have my wishful thinking thought here, man. Let me dream.
You could have your wishful thinking there, but I just don't I have wishful thinking too that I'm not gonna even say wishful
thinking. That Gabe's insane. Yeah, I'll say it for you.
Well, I mean, just imagine they'd be unstoppable, Drew.
Yeah.
But Adam, I mean, Jen had mentioned it before. I know you love the NBA. You've done some work. Is it hard to pay attention to the NBA? And I mean, so much drama now here in Milwaukee. Is it harder to pay attention to the NBA because your job is pretty much year-round now in the NFL?
No. My job didn't change to year-round in the NFL. My job is always year-round in the NFL. And so that's my break at night to sit back as I'm in between calls or as I'm on calls and have the NBA on in the background. I was fascinated by the Doc Rivers thing. Like, here he is working for ESPN ABC. Like, how does that go? Like, he's half the season into his run, and you call your boss and you're like, hey guys, I'm gonna be leaving the job, I'm gonna be taking the head coaching job with the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, how does that happen? Like, that's wild to me.
Offense to Mike, but he's fantastic. He's not Giannis.
Mike Breen and Doris Burke probably knew about this before anybody. And kind of the way that I view it right now. It was fascinating the way that it all worked out to me.
Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Guys, thank you for having me. My condolences on the Packers. It was a tough one, and we'll be in touch here again next Wednesday.
If you missed the beginning of our interview with Adam Schefter, he said, should have won the game. Just dig that knife in. Little bit deeper. All right, we've got Eric Name coming up next. He's going to hang out with us here in studio on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Give us some more insight into what went wrong with the Adrian Griffin hire and what's next for your Milwaukee Bucks. Stick around.
Adam Schefter brought to you by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino. And you should plan your winter getaway to the Island Resort and Casino. Schedule a relaxing session at the Drift Spot. You can enjoy gaming, casual fine dining, and great live entertainment. To book your winter getaway, visit islandresortandcasino.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right about anything.
Ed Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size. What the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
The breaking news this morning in Milwaukee is that the Bucks have fired Adrian Griffin. That came out yesterday afternoon. There had been cracks, there had been rumblings, there had been talk of issues and conflict. And to be fair, you could see it on the floor. You could see it with guys coming in and out of timeouts and not knowing exactly what they were doing. You could see that there was frustration. There are a lot of stories rolling out now, even the one about Giannis after a game being up at the whiteboard with an assistant coach trying to draw up plays and figure out after a loss, I believe I read, what went wrong. Not that that's that unusual, but like, there was all kinds of stuff that was percolating around this team, and nobody is closer here at Good Karma Brands than Eric Name, who joins us now in studio. So, Eric, I assume you were not surprised by this, that it happened. Maybe the timing was a little bit surprising. What was your reaction when the news broke yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think this season just got to a spot where you kept waiting for the growth to show up, right? Like, I think everyone in the organization knew you hire a first-time head coach, there's going to be growing pains. But if there's something painful, you're hoping to grow out of it. And I think once the Bucks got to January, you got to a spot where that growth just wasn't coming through. You look at what they've been doing defensively. It's just
Doing things defensively?
That's a fair point. It's been really rough. This entire kind of, I guess, the entire year of 2024. And it starts with the Pacers beating them up on January 1st. And then you go down the line where they can't figure out the Pacers issue. And then, you know, you go to Houston on January 6th after you had just snuck out a win against the lowly Spurs, snuck out a win, managed to get that one. You go to Houston, you get embarrassed. Giannis goes crazy, calls for everyone's job, including the equipment manager. And it is just like, the defense. What are we doing on defense? We have to figure out what's going on defense. And I think everyone believed, okay, Giannis gives an impassioned speech. He says, we have to be better on defense. You are expecting hair on fire, amazing defensive performance. And they give up 11 threes to the Utah Jazz on the very next game. On Monday night, after that Saturday rant from Giannis, they come back home. Monday, Utah hits 11 of 16 threes in the first quarter. And I just think along the way, there just wasn't the growth that everyone was hoping to see, because everyone understood, hey, the personnel has changed quite a bit. We're not going to be the same defensive team that we were under Mike Budenholzer, and we don't want to be. We want to do different things. We want to try different things. We want to switch more. We want to throw in some zone. We want to do all these things. But in the end, the results just weren't there from the defense. And then offensively, while they are scoring a lot of points and they can do that very well, a lot of it is just on their talent. It isn't, you know, this cohesive kind of unit. And the Bucks haven't seen that yet. And ultimately, it was just too much for John Horst and for ownership.
Eric, when did you realize this thing was going sideways? Is it all the way back to Stotts? Did that raise your eyebrows and go, that's...
I mean, it certainly wasn't good. Like, to have a situation where, and obviously at The Athletic, we had reported kind of the incident that occurs at shoot-around. Like, for that to happen, obviously, as we reported then, it wasn't that specific an incident. It wasn't just a single argument at shoot-around about where you should be, or, you know, the level of respect that you should show the head coach, or the level of respect that you should show a former head coach that's now one of your assistants. It wasn't that single incident. It was kind of that buildup. And to me, that signaled like, all right, maybe, you know, Adrian Griffin isn't handling this situation as best as he could, because you bring in a longtime head coach like Terry Stotts for a reason. Like, that is supposed to be the veteran voice that is helping him out and helps him through some of these growing pains that I talked about in that first answer. But I just think you start there, and then it just kind of goes down the line where, again, it could be framed as this is growth and this is getting better, but I think when you look at the first four games of the season, they're running one defensive scheme, and the players literally have to tell Adrian Griffin, stop it. We're not going to have Brook Lopez trapping pick and rolls out the three-point line. Just put him by the rim. He's the runner-up to defense player. Just put him by the rim and let him block shots. And again, you could frame it as, wow, good job by the coach recognizing, listening to his players. It's good that the players, you know, feel a level of ownership. Or you could frame it as, that was a bad idea from the start. Everyone knows Brook Lopez shouldn't be doing that. Why were you trying to do that? So, Chu, I think throughout this entire season, there was just these moments where I was like, all right, that is a first-time head coach's mistake, but it would have really been great if he didn't make that. There's been first-time head coaches that haven't had these mistakes over and over and over again, and I just think, again, it just built up to this moment where now you're looking at a team that, even though they are 30-13, second-best record in the NBA, John Horst just didn't feel like they were making enough growth.
You, Shams, Sam Amick, great piece over at The Athletic, kind of talking about how Doc Rivers has been an informal consultant for Adrian Griffin over the last month or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, whoa, hold on that. That was a crazy bombshell.
Yeah.
That the Bucks had gone, that they had outsourced guidance for their head coach. Now, again, you had made the point about Terry Stotts. Maybe they had insourced guidance, right? But then they were outsourcing guidance from an ESPN analyst.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. I had a very like shocked reaction to that development. So I just want to make sure that everybody out there is understanding. The Bucks had Doc Rivers basically on a retainer
right.
of like step in and assist and guide and help navigate this situation. Am I reading that correctly?
You are. Yeah. I mean, it does speak, I think, to the Terry Stotts situation. Like that was what Terry Stotts was brought in to do. And they weren't able to make that relationship work. Maybe it was seeing too much of each other. Maybe whatever. However these things work, that didn't work out. And they needed to go back and find another veteran voice. And Doc Rivers was the guy that they chose.
So whose idea, A, was it? And B, did the players know that Doc was consulting on the side?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously Doc is around the team in Las Vegas. Like, as I'm walking the tunnels in Las Vegas, there's Doc Rivers. He went by because he's broadcasting games. He's in Las Vegas. So whether or not they knew it was informal consulting, I'm sure they saw like, oh, there's Doc and Adrian Griffin going to...
Oh, you're
to
talking go, about the in-season tournament?
Right. Got it. To go talk about something or whatever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so again, do they quote unquote know that at that point he's an informal consultant? Probably not. But they also know that he's talking to Griff. And ultimately, I think when you're looking at that role, the big idea there is, hey, Griff needs some help. Who's someone that we know has the experience and a championship? And, oh, by the way, he's worked with superstars up and down the league. He's worked with modern superstars and Harden and Embiid. He's worked with older superstars and Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. Like, he's ran the gamut, and he can hopefully help impart some of that knowledge onto Griff. And so for who did it within the organization, that's a spot where you're looking at the Rolodex of John Horst, and you're looking through ownership, and you're trying to figure out who are people that we know, one, that are available, right? Like, there's a lot of coaches that are coaching right now. So you can't talk to those guys. So, you know, how do you find someone that has all those things that I'm talking about, but also is available to actually be able to serve in that role?
He's Eric Name. We're going to hold on to him here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because we want to continue breaking down this breaking news about Adrian Griffin being fired by the Milwaukee Bucks, figure out what went wrong, and try to figure out what's next. Stick around. We'll be back in 2 minutes.